on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast, Summer of Soccer.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk presented by The Sportscast.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk with Victor Orocho and Byron Jones. And here's your host, Victor Orocho.
Live out of Miami, Fort Lauderdale and Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, hosted by Byron Jones and Victor Orocho. Brought to you by The Sportscast. Today is June 27, 2024. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to The Sportscast and all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please go to the podcast icon, look up Jersey Boys Sports Talk. You see me and Byron there. Please leave a rating and a review to help us out tremendously. We are streaming live every week at 8 p.m. on Thursday on YouTube and on Facebook. We are on X. Right now, we'll be there. We are there live. So you can please drop your questions, ask any questions. You're welcome to join our show, invite a guest, and get ready to talk some great football. We guys always have some exciting guests to talk about football throughout the league, particularly talk about the NFC East and then across the league. Mr. Byron Jones, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Oh, everything is all good in the hood. It's not scorching hot. It's not too cold. It's just right. I could deal with, 80 degrees, high 80s. But when it was that 95 and humidity, it was a little rough around here. But, and we've got a lot of storms, a lot of rain around here lately. So it is what it is.
We're in Florida. We're in that time. By 4 p.m., 6 p.m., it starts raining heavily. It was pitch black the other day, and then, boom, blue skies. So we're getting ready. All right, we got a great guest coming on the show, and let's bring him in. He's sitting in the green room. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, Mr. Matt O'Leary. He is the host of the Matt O'Leary podcast. It talks about all the news analysis on the New York Jets. As you can see, his beautiful green and white colors behind him. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. Thank you for joining our show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, guys.
Oh, awesome. Well, we're going to talk a little bit around the league, catch up a little bit, NFC East, some rankings, and I want to get your perspective on the Jets and tell me what you think, what's happening, and we're going to hear a little bit about your show. How's that?
Perfect. Sounds like a plan.
Sounds good. Let's get going. All right. Mr. Byron, I see that you put up we have – your rankings. You got your quarterbacks, your running backs, your wide receivers. Oh, you got your wide receiver groups. Is that what we got? Because the spreadsheet is huge.
Wide receiver groups, tight ends,
offensive lines. No, this is all offense then, right?
All offense.
All offense. All right, let's get going. Let's share the screen. All right, Matt, get ready to see, get with your thoughts off. See where good guys are. Let's go.
It's a lot of Jet hate. A lot of Jet hate.
On that show. Don't take it personal. We got buddy going on. Richie Vargas, this is one for you. We got a major sports a fan and enthusiast for the Jets. All right, let's go here. Share screen. Santiago, why is he doing this to me? Okay, Byron. I'm a little concerned with...
Oh, you broke it again?
It's not out here, this entire screen. I keep forgetting which piece. Okay. Can you see it? Do you see the spreadsheet? Okay, is it big enough?
Huge.
Matt, can you see that?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, good. All right, let's start out with quarterbacks. Okay, let's go. Let's start with the top five first. See where we got Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Burrows, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy.
Yep.
Brock Purdy, CJ Stroud, Jalen Hurts, Aaron Rodgers, number 9, Matt Stafford. All right, let's start with the top 10. Matt, what do you got here? Who would you change?
I think this is a pretty solid list for me. I like, from the Jets perspective, I love that Aaron Rodgers cracks your top 10. There's some who are a little down on him going into this year, but I'll take that. For me, I think I would lower both Goff and Purdy down a little bit, and I would bring Stafford higher and Justin Herbert higher.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, all right, let's go here. Byron, tell me why Purdy and Goff belong in the top 10.
Well, I'm looking at the perspective of what they're going to do this year, not, you know, past stuff and, you know, whatever. And I think, you know, the Detroit Lions, you know, with Goff ready to take, you know, the next step, and that we've seen what, you know, Purdy, you know, is capable of, and just to see, you know, is he going to take another step as far as getting them back, you know, getting them to a Super Bowl. And what Justin Herbert, you know, way down there at the bottom, and I put him not bottom, but number 16, kind of in the middle, because he's got a, you know, the new coach and, you know, off the line, he lost a lot of weapons, and, you know, he can, you know, move up. You know, they do have a new coach with, you know, Harbaugh. So, you know, that's why, you know, Herbert at 16, because usually he's always been my guy since he's been in the league. And, you know, I didn't want to, you know, oh, well, let me put him in number five, you know, because, you know, I like the guy, whatever. But, yeah, I'm going to put him, you know, in the middle until he, you know, see how things work out, you know, with their offense.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I always can – I only got to rank him for pass. I'm not a big on I'm trying to – can you see the spreadsheet? Oh, because I'm back on. That's why when I come back over here. I'm not a big guy to predict on the future because, you know, for that, you might as well put some of these guys on the bottom because if they stay, they got to stay healthy, right? So the one I question Purdy. I like Purdy. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think Purdy's above C.J. Stroud, right? I can't put Purdy above Rodgers. I can't put Stafford. Stafford deserves to be up higher. I like Goff. Don't get me wrong. I like Goff. I just think he's got a really good team behind him. But if I had to have some of the crunches, I would put a few of these quarterbacks above him, like Stafford, definitely Aaron Rodgers, definitely C.J. Stroud. Jordan Love, I think, deserves to be a little bit higher. I think he's going to be really good.
So, yeah, 14, who would you put him higher above? Who would you put him above?
I put Jordan Love in performance over Prescott, over Cousins, over Wilson. I put Herbert up there, definitely Herbert. You know, Herbert's one of my favorite. I think Herbert's going to make a big difference, especially if they're designed to run more. That's just going to help them, unless you're looking at passing yards, right? But let's just talk about that. Okay, let me stop sharing because if I come back over here, there you go. Stop sharing. So let me ask you a question, right? Let's talk about Herbert. You mentioned that he's got a new coach. We know Harbaugh has been successful at every level, and he's going to institute more running.
Right.
So, you know, Matt, I'll ask you. You definitely, with, you know, the Jets is going to be the same situation, right? If you got a good quarterback and you're going to institute more running, I think that's going to help the quarterback more than it would hurt him if you could put him in a position of running some more. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the Chargers have been very, like, they've leaned on Herbert a lot over the last few years, and like their defense has been really bad. I think just as a team, they've kind of put him in a tough situation to succeed. But we've seen him put up, you know, good numbers year over year. So while the Chargers as a group, like, I don't know where that team's going to finish in the AFC, if they're a playoff team or not, in a very tough conference. But from just like a pure talent perspective, and, you know, like, he's in the prime of his career, going into his age 26 season. I think for me, he has to be a little bit higher just based on one, what he's shown in the league so far in a tough circumstance. And then two, just the talent, the arm talent that he has. For me, I would have him over the guys I listed in Goff, as well as Purdy. Both those guys are in like very, very, very good situations, and we shouldn't hold that against him. But I think when you're making the comparison between the quarterbacks, I would have Herbert as a more talented player, so he would rank higher for me.
Yeah. And Byron, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, the fact that Harbaugh is going to make a an immediate impact on that team, because you know how I felt about Brandon Staley.
Right.
I mean, everything that Matt said, they relied way too much on him, and they called the dumbest plays on fourth downs. Like, they didn't put the ball in his hands to make a successful play, right? So, I don't know. I think it's okay other than those two. I like Lamar Jackson. Like, what are you basing it on? Like, what is it based on? On just a pure quarterback, on their team? What are you basing that on, so I can be fair? Because this isn't bad. I mean, it looks good at some point, but I think – Lamar Jackson, I'm not convinced that's him being a number two quarterback. He's got all the skill in the greatest world.
Yeah, two MVPs. He's won two MVPs.
So does Aaron Rodgers.
He's won four, and how many Super Bowls he's been in?
And Lamar Jackson?
None. So both of them are the same boat.
No, one's got one, the other one's got zero.
And you're absolutely right. Let's get to Herbert. He's probably the most physically talented out of all the bunch. He's huge. He can run. And the only problem with him is that, like, now he's lost all the receivers. Mike Williams is with the Jets. They lost Keenan Allen. Their number one pick, Quentin Johnson, whatever the kid's name is, he just hasn't panned out at all. He's awful, as far as just catching the ball. And when he came out of TCU, they expected him to do more than what he is. So he really doesn't have the weapons that he's had, the last three, four years. And now probably with Harbaugh there, they're going to be more run-based because they did draft the tackle, the kid from Notre Dame. So they're probably going to run the ball more and just do a Michigan kind of thing, run the ball, throw when we have to. But as far as receivers, they don't have a good group of receivers at all.
Oh, so wait a second. So, but then you're listening to Steve. So are you counting the list of the top quarterbacks because of them, or are you counting the top quarterbacks because of their team?
Both.
All right. Well, we'll go on with that. We can agree to disagree. I like the list for the most part. I don't know if I put Lamar as a number two. I may keep him in a number five because he's proven it. I'm just not a big, I'm a Lamar fan and watching him play. I'm not a big fan that he's the quarterback that's going to take you to the promised land. Right. And remember, Baltimore's always won with backup, second string quarterbacks. So let's go from there. But I think Harbaugh's going to do a great job.
Let's don't forget our guy. We put our guy. I put my guy, Daniel Jones, number 22.
Okay, time out. Why don't I just tear you apart then? Right? Your boy, Sam Darnold, that you thought was going to be rookie of the year.
Yeah. That was Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson.
Oh, okay. Well, you also said Sam Darnold was going to do damage with the Minnesota Vikings. You did say that.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to keep saying it too.
How do you say that? He's number 27. How much damage can he do at 27?
With the Vikings, No, they have two good receivers. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's it. Justin Jefferson and Addison.
Yeah.
And a good receiver always makes a bad quarterback or average quarterback pretty good. So I'm going to go with that he's going to be a lot better with some talent.
Yeah, but that's contradictive to your argument with Justin Herbert. Herbert doesn't have receivers, and he's a great quarterback. He doesn't need somebody to be that great. If they're going to run, he's still going to perform well. I mean, I think he's going to end up way higher than 16. That's for sure.
Okay, well, we'll see.
And then you got Daniel Jones, your comeback player of the year. Daniel Jones? Is anybody, Aaron Rodgers, be a comeback player of the year? He came off an injury. So is Daniel Jones. You got Daniel Jones comeback player of the year at 22?
Yes, I do. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so how good can he be to be number 22 and be comeback player of the year? They don't match up.
If the Giants go 9-8 with Daniel Jones at quarterback, and he has good numbers, you got to give it to him. Aaron Rodgers has won MVP, Super Bowl, and other stuff, but you got to give it to my guy, man. I'm right now be a Giant lover, and that's why I'm saying he's number 22.
All right, he's 22, and he's gonna be comeback player of the year. Okay, I don't get that. All right, let's go on to the next thing. All right, so screen. Bang. Sorry, screen already got this down now. All right, let's go. All right, so now you got running backs. Okay, McCaffrey, Robinson from Atlanta. Interesting. Hall from the Jets. Hey, you got some love there. You got Jets. You got Barkley from the Eagles. Really?
Yeah.
Taylor, Indianapolis. Josh Jacobs. Who's Jay Jacobs? No, that's Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs.
From the Raiders?
Yeah.
He went to Green Bay?
Yeah. Where you been?
Oh, my God. That's an awesome move. I like that running back. Derek, you still got Derrick Henry in the top 10?
Yeah.
Kamara, I get. Gibbs, I get. Okay. All right, Matt, what do you see about this list?
Well, I love how high Breece Hall is. I think he deserves it too. I think he's in for a really big year. You know, the offensive line for the Jets last year was horrible. And with the quarterback play, everyone was just stacking nine guys in the box because none of the Jets quarterbacks, whoever was starting or in there, could really push the ball down the field. So I think the return of Aaron Rodgers is going to be even bigger for Breece. I think, I don't know if I would put him there now, but by the end of the year, I think Breece Hall could be the second best running back behind Christian McCaffrey.
Okay. And Brian, talk about the guy from Atlanta. Why do you think he's going to be so good?
Because the coach they have now, and I forgot what the guy's name is. They want to be more run oriented as far as getting him the ball in space, kind of like, you know, with Christian McCaffrey, and you know the little bit work that you did see him, you know, Bijan Robinson do. He's an explosive running back. He is the guy. So I think he's going to have a big year, you know, down there, you know, with Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
I will tell you though, if Breece Hall has as good as a season as you have him ranked here, that's great for Aaron Rodgers.
Makes life significantly easier coming back off Achilles injury at 40 to have a running back who is having a top five or top three running back season. I agree. I think that's going to be huge for him getting back in the mix.
Which then makes the Jets more damn. We're going to talk more about the Jets in a little bit. It makes the Jets more dangerous. One, because if you got a running back that's producing and a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be dangerous. And you already know that Sal is going to put the defense out there. And Matt, do you know that? This is my little trivia. That's my claim to fame. Do you know what Aaron Rodgers' record is when his defense holds teams under 20 points?
I know it's very good, but give it to me. What's the final record?
80-10.
That's insane. That's
80-10. And with Aaron Rodgers out, the Jets still held teams to like 20 points, maybe just a little under 20.
Exactly. I like that. That's a good one.
That's pretty dangerous right now. If you got a running back that could run, if your defense holds teams under 20, and you have a quarterback whose success rate is 80-10, it's got to be because Rodgers can put up at least 21 points or more in a game, any given game. Is that fair?
I
going to be able to put up points, and his defense holds him, that's why he wins. So that's a good number. 80-10, that's a crazy number. All righty. All right, Byron, these are pretty good. I like what you did to running backs. For those of you listening out there, we're going to have this in the links below. So those of you that are fantasy football fans, I would listen to Byron. Go through some of these steps and pick on your own. He did all the hard work for you. All righty. Wide receiver group. Byron, they should be sending you fantasy football chats. All right. 2024 wide receiver, the groups. We're doing this by groups. You got the Bears. Interesting. Then Seattle. Interesting. Then the Dolphins. Wow. Oh, and they signed Odell. Odell in Miami could be dangerous. Okay, Houston Texans, Minnesota, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, the Rodgers. All right, let's go with the top 10. All right, Byron, give me your start. Give me why you're picking Chicago to have the best group of receivers. I know it's been said they have, but it's still Chicago.
DJ Moore's put up like 1,300 yards. I think he's going to have a big year with Caleb, Williams, the quarterback, there in Chicago, and a dependable receiver that's going to be where he's supposed to be. That's DJ Moore. They have Keenan Allen. He's going to come back, from injuries with the Chargers. I think he's going to have a big year with them. And their number one pick, Romy Odunze from Washington, big receiver. One of those receivers where you can throw the ball up and he can go get it. And with those three, I think, Caleb Williams is probably going to be in for a good year, as long as he doesn't, foobar and, interceptions and just does some of the things that he did when he was at USC.
Okay. Matt, what do you think about this list?
Yeah, this is a pretty good list. I think some minor tweaks. I think I would still have Miami one, just because their top two are so stacked. I love the trio that Chicago has. I think Seattle also has a good trio. I'd probably slide Cincinnati and San Fran up a little bit as well, but I don't really have too many complaints with this. That's nitpicking, but I think those are really good. There's a really good ranking, and there's a lot of talented wide receiver rooms we're seeing here in the top 10.
The ones that I'm putting in yellow are the ones that I would question that deserve at least an argument to be up top.
I did show the Jets some love by putting them in the middle. That's a little love right there.
I think that's totally – I think 18 is fair for that trio, especially with Mike Williams coming off an injury and Xavier Gibson still a little bit of an unknown. So I think them in the middle of the pack is more than fair.
Byron, let's talk about go ahead, Byron.
Then we have the work. Well, I was going to say something about the Giants being. Let's see where they at again. Way down there at the bottom. There you go, right where they belong down there. There you go. Oh, the only reason they're that high is because of Darius Slayton.
Again, you have the comeback quarterback of the year, and you got to rank so bad. There's no logic to your arguments. I don't get it. Okay, no, there isn't. All right, so look here. I agree. I would have Dolphins number one. Number two, your first two teams don't even have one of the top paid receivers on.
Who?
No. Like the top.
Metcalf.
He's not Jefferson like. He's not Jamar Chase is going to get paid. CeeDee Lamb. Who got paid? Who's the other one that got paid? We just talked.
AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. There's a bunch of
them. There was a few, and there's some still coming. So I'm surprised that you have that. I'd have that Miami as probably top number one. I'm not sure about it. Just to me, in other words, my argument is kind of counter to yours. You were talking about these guys having a good year, right? And then the coach and the quarterback. And that's how I look at it holistically, right? So, number one, because your argument with the Jets, I understand, Rodgers coming off, but if Rodgers number nine and he has a good running game and a good defense, doesn't the good quarterback make the receiver also?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe they're 18. I can't see where I move them, but I'm just saying I think they would, if the Jets have a good year, those guys are going to move up. Who's the other one?
But you were talking
San Francisco.
About
you got Brock Purdy at number six, right? How do you have Brock Purdy at number six and his offensive team on number seven? I think Debo is awesome. Ayuk is awesome. I'm not too familiar with Jennings, but that's a good group. So I'm just saying, I'm trying to combine all this together.
Yeah, but you want to move you want to move the Miami Dolphins up because of Beckham. Beckham, is I ain't gonna say past his prime. But he's not OBJ of the past. And, with the Seattle, Jackson Smith, and what is that? Whatever. I can't think of the
same. Rocket.
But he's right now, I think he's better than Beckham as the third receiver with Seattle. So I would leave Seattle right there.
Yeah. I'm moving Miami up because of Waddle and Hill. I like the addition of Odell Beckham, but he's still going to be dangerous. In other words, you can't – with having to worry about Hill is already going to take up two backs, right?
Right.
You're going to have to occupy the mind of two defensive backs. Now you got Waddle, right, who is excellent. Now you got to worry about Jennings. You can't just ignore Odell Beckham. He's going to score on you. The dude still can catch. He may not be able to run as fast as he used to. Maybe his route's a little bit more rustier. But he's still going to be he's going to be dangerous. He's going to be added to that mix. That's what makes them dangerous. It's not because he's their number one receiver.
No, he doesn't have to be at this point in time. But I'm just saying, as far as a third receiver that's going to scare the daylights out of people, I would take the Seattle Seahawk guy and Jigba over Beckham right now.
And I would take Beckham.
I'm not talking about Bass, though. I'm talking about
right now. I got you. But I would take Beckham for the reason of Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Matt?
Yeah, I think for me, the Hill and Waddle like weigh that one more. I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a better wide receiver at this point in his career than Odell Beckham is, but I think the duo of Hill and Waddle bumps them up higher for me as a group because of their talent. But depth, I think you make the case that the Seahawks have more depth in their wide receiver room, but the top-end talent from the Dolphins is there for me.
Well, I'm making this argument, though. I want to get you on this specific argument. The argument is that even, you know, let's say everyone's right, that Jaxon Smith is a better third receiver than Odell Beckham if you compare them directly one-to-one. My argument is because of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle now pushes Odell Beckham ahead because you can't ignore Odell Beckham. Meanwhile, you're going to be taking up at least three defensive backs covering those two other two guys, which is going to give better opportunity to Odell Beckham, where he's not the number one option. The threat of those two guys makes Odell Beckham better.
It could. I also wonder how many targets are going to end up going his way, though, with how many Hill and Waddle are going to eat up in that offense.
Yeah. But, you know, he doesn't need a lot. He can put the ball in the end zone. We know that, right? So, you know, a lot of targets are going to go to Tyreek and then Jalen. But remember, Tyreek also gets a lot of targets with those little short screens, right? He gets a short screen. He turns it into 10, 15 yards. Then he crushes you deep. Now, if you're worried about him deep, Odell Beckham is a great route runner. I just think he's dangerous. Remember, I called it Byron when he went to the Rams. Okay, I think Odell Beckham is going to do really well here. All right, let's go. And then who's the other one I picked? Also Philadelphia. I think A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith is a powerful duo right there. A.J. Brown's a beast, you know, if they can get him the ball.
Right. Yeah, he'd get him the ball, all right.
Yeah. Well, you know, they got him back the first half, and then the second half they just forgot. Okay, wide receivers as a standalone. You got CeeDee Lamb up there. Don't show Jerry Jones this. He hasn't got paid yet.
Okay? Yeah.
So look at the guys that you pick. Let's do this, okay? Tyreek Hill got paid, right? Didn't Amon-Ra St. Brown get paid?
Yep, he got
Justin
paid.
Justin Jefferson got paid. Jamar Chase is, we're waiting. A.J. Brown got paid, right?
Yep.
Who else got the contract? Devontae Adams got paid. Yep. He got a contract. Oh, my God. Okay. Let's go from there. All right. CeeDee Lamb, Michael Pittman. I'm not sure if you got his hit. Jamar Chase and Stephon Diggs. Interesting. So I like CeeDee Lamb. I like him a lot. Would I put him above Tyreek Hill? I keep him in that top three. I still think Tyreek Hill is the most dangerous receiver out there. And then Justin Jefferson. So I'm not sure where I would go there. Jamar Chase is going to get paid. Stephon Diggs, he's already got his contract, right?
Yep.
Okay, so he's gotten paid. So Jamar Chase and CeeDee Lamb, Michael Pittman, I'm not too familiar with, but he's with the Colts. I know Michael Pittman. I like Michael Pittman, but yeah, I don't know.
He's going to get a lot of targets because, you know, with Anthony Richardson, you know, coming back. So that's going to be his go-to guy. And I'm talking about this year, not the past, but this year he's going to be the go-to guy for Anthony Richardson when he comes back.
And I like, I think Stephon Diggs, Stephon Diggs and Ja'Marr Chase deserve to be a little bit higher. And maybe even AJ Brown.
Over who?
I'm not.
Over who?
Hold on. Let me go. Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase, I may put above. I'd put above Pittman. I would probably put above Ja'Marr Chase.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, I like Ja'Marr Chase. He's dangerous. I would put him there. I think Davante Adams. I think with the Raiders, AJ Brown. If they run well, he's a powerhouse. Maybe he's just a built receiver. I don't know. That's where I would go. I would just make a few. I could make an argument for a few other ones. I think this is a good list overall. Is there even a giant receiver on this thing?
No.
We got 16 receivers. All right, Matt.
Where is Brandon Ayuk? How far down is he?
Where did I put him?
He's got a 19.
Yeah, I would have him higher. I would move Puka Nacua up. Mm-hmm. I think Pittman is too high, and I think Amon-Ra is a touch high for me. He had a monster year last year, so I'm not like that. I would move him down because I would put Jefferson and Chase ahead of him, so I'm not moving him by much, but I would move Pittman down, I would say, a few spots, and I would definitely have Brandon Ayuk up higher. I think he is closer to top 10.
Okay.
So we're about the same, because I've had Ja'Marr Chase and Jefferson.
What about Garrett? You think that's good? Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, I like Garrett in that spot. I don't think many people are going to have him there right now because he hasn't had like a crazy productive season yet in his first 2 years. He had 1,000 last year and then 1,100 in his first year. But from a talent perspective, I think once we see him with competent quarterback play, he's going to prove that he's a top half of the league wide receiver one. I'm excited for him this year. I think he puts up big numbers as the target hog in the Jets passing attack.
Well, we got the Jet. We got some love for the Jets here. We got a receiver up there. We got running back up there. We got the quarterback up there. So Byron, you're giving up some love over here. All right, we're gonna go into what we got 20 minutes. So I want to go into this. So we'll come back to this, but I want to get into, since we got our Jets. All right. Since we got our Jets expert on the team. All right, so talk to us. What do you see what's happened with the Jets? How do you think Aaron Rodgers is coming around? And what do you think is – do you pick the Jets to take the AFC East this year?
So I do think Aaron Rodgers coming back is a big boost. I'm kind of curious to see where he ends up landing. Like if he gets back to – you know, what he looked like in Green Bay when he was at MVP in 2020 and 2021, or if he looks closer to what he did his last year with the Packers when he was playing with a broken thumb. So I think he's probably somewhere in the middle and is, you know, right on the fringe of a top 10 quarterback. So an above average quarterback in the league, but I think that's more than enough for the Jets this season. I do think they win the AFC East. I think it'll be tight, though, between the Dolphins and the Bills are right there. I think there's a chance that all three of the Jets, Dolphins, and Bills make the playoffs in the AFC with the seventh seed now added over the last couple of years. But I think the Jets win it with either 11 or 12 wins. 11-6 or 12-5 is where I have the Jets, and then Miami and Buffalo right there around 10 wins.
Byron?
My only question for where's Aaron Rodgers? You know, there's the only reports, you know, sitting there saying that, you know, he didn't went, you know, Australia or wherever he is. You know, where is this guy?
I wish I knew where Aaron Rodgers was. Now, luckily, I will say, in a perfect world, I would have preferred Aaron Rodgers at minicamp. I do think the story got blown up a little bit too much. He was there all offseason during the voluntary portion of OTAs. And I don't know how much like two June practices are really going to dictate things for the Jets in season. So again, like in a perfect world, yes, I would rather him be there with the team, but I don't think it's the hugest deal that, you know, he missed a couple days. But yeah, I'm looking forward to him coming back in a few weeks for training camp. July 23rd is when it gets rolling. So it should be fun.
Yep. I also believe that, again, I picked him last year. I think if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, I think it's the Jets' time to win the AFC East. Only because I don't trust the Bills. No matter how great they look, they seem to have like pre-playoff drop. They just, their play goes down. There's a problem in the clubhouse. Something goes wrong with them. As it goes for Miami, you know, I think Tua did a great job last year. I think put up some great numbers. I think they're a dangerous team. It just seems like they had like the curse or something. You know what I mean? It's like Tua stays healthy all year and they get four starters at the end of the year that get hurt. So go figure. The guy you expect to get hurt doesn't get hurt. Four other players you're not expecting to get hurt. So what do you think about Saleh being on the hot seat this year?
Yeah.
It's fair. It's not fair.
I do think it's fair for him because I think it's time for the Jets. As you said, it's like the Jets' time. They need to start. Like, they've had a pretty good process through all of this, but it hasn't come through on the field yet. And, you know, this is going to be his fourth season as Jets head coach. Now, to defend Saleh a little bit, I think it's very hard for any coach to deal with, you know, Zach Wilson or Trevor Siemian or Tim Boyle starting games for you and win. So I do think, like, I want to give him the chance and the opportunity with, you know, a legitimate quarterback in here and high expectations. And, you know, I'm hoping he performs well and everything goes great. And they, you know, they're a playoff team and, you know, make some noise in the playoffs. But, you know, if they're a 7-10 team again, or, you know, an 8-9 or 9-8 and just miss out on the playoffs, then, you know, I think he's probably out of a job. It's time for the wins to start coming. And it's also time for them to end the playoff drought.
Myron?
I'm a defensive guy. This is another question about the Jets, of course. Is Quentin Williams ready to take the mantle as the guy with the defensive line, you know, as far as being the top defensive lineman in, you know, the NFL?
Oh, I think he's right there, man, especially with, you know, Aaron Donald officially retires. But I think Quinnen, Dexter Lawrence, Chris Jones, to me, those three are in a tier of their own on the interior defensive line. With just how well they play, I think he has a good chance to. At worst, I think he's third in that group, right? Like the third best interior guy. So I'm really excited for him this year. With Hassan Reddick on the edge, I think that opens him up for some more opportunities to get some sacks too. So I would expect a big things for Quinnen Williams, who's been great for the Jets the last few years.
Oh, I forgot all about that guy, Hassan Reddick. Is he going to show up? Is he coming in, or what's the deal with this guy?
Yeah, so he's looking for a new contract. I would be very surprised if he ends up like holding out into the season. I think the Jets get something done with him on a whether it's just adding in incentives to the contract to get him in or a short term extension. He's 30 years old now, so like I don't think he's getting any long-term deal. But if they want to tack on an extra year or redo the contract so he gets some more guaranteed money, I think that's the route that we see. But I expect Reddick to, you know, be there for camp eventually and be a big factor for this defense.
Do you think they knew, you know, prior to them, you know, trading for him, that this might have, you know, happened with this guy? Because, you know, he wasn't a problem, you know, with Philadelphia. And then all of a sudden, you know, he doesn't show up, he's not around, and, you know, he wants more money. So, yeah, what was up with that?
Yeah, so there was a report that originally when the trade was made that the Jets made it clear that they kind of wanted to see how this year played out and that if it went well, great, like you're going to get paid either here with the Jets or somewhere else, but like they weren't necessarily interested in doing the extension right away or the new contract right away. And Reddick was, you know, supposedly okay with that at the time. And then something changed over the last, you know, couple months since that trade was made. That was one report from Connor Hughes of The Athletic, who covers the Jets on the beat. So maybe that's the story, but I totally get it. Like, you would think you just traded for this guy. Wouldn't you know if he wanted a new deal or not? So okay. Something's not adding up there, but you know, we'll see how that ends up playing out.
Well, you know, if you think about it, your defense will be a byproduct of your offense. Their defense has played good over the last several years under Salah. You can't deny that. Right? He's done a good job as a defensive coach. If their offense performs better than it has over the last couple of years, it should just make your defense a lot better, right? Keeping them off the field, putting up points, you know, not feeling like you have to. I mean, Byron, you and I both experienced it playing defense. I mean, it's depressing if your offense ain't putting up points. I mean, I never realized the importance of a great field goal kicker until my sophomore year in college when we won a game 9-6 against a top ranked team. Okay. And they scored, we put up three field goals and we held the other team to two. We won. The game was just a field goal game. But as a defensive player, there's nothing like holding a team and getting points out. Making a turnover, getting points out, right? So I'm just saying that with you know, if what you have here, you got Aaron Rodgers at 9, you got a receiver there's do well, and you got Bryce Hall, right, doing well. That offense should just make that defense better.
100. I agree with you.
And you know, keep them off the field. Let them get some play. Also, let them get excitement. And you know, as defensive players, we have the flexibility to be way more emotional than offensive players, right? Our emotions go. There's nothing greater to feel than if your offensive side of the ball is scoring, right? If you get a turnover and they turn it into points, all those things just ignite a defense. And that defense played well with lousy play. I mean, like I said, they still average. If I go look it up, I'm pretty sure the defense only allowed like 20 points, barely 21 points last year. The year before that was under 20.
There were three games last year that the Jets lost and their defense allowed 16 or less points. They lost 13-8 to Atlanta, 16-12 to the Raiders, and 15-10 to New England. Like, if your defense is allowing 16 or less points, like, that should be enough for you to win a game in the modern NFL. But they didn't have a quarterback, unfortunately. So I agree. I think, you know, the offense being just, even if they're competent, league average offense, then I think that just makes this defense so much better because there's not as much pressure on them where they have to perform. Otherwise, there's no chance that they're going to win the game.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's, and again, it goes to my, I guess, the great stats that Rodgers has, right? Think about it. Those three games, by pure statistics and numbers only, Rodgers would have won that game.
Easily. Yep.
Yep.
Right? Because it's just a matter of putting up 20 points, 21 points or more, right? So I'm trying to see what the average last year. So I think that's what's going to go good for the Jets. I think, you know, Salah's on the hot seat. I think it stinks, but it makes sense. My other piece is, what's your long-term play, though, with the Jets, right? Let's say you do have a good season, right? And you make it to the playoffs. And that's going to be awesome for New York. It's going to be awesome for the Jet fans. But how long, you know, what's the future going to be? Like, all these teams are building their future around young quarterbacks, right? What's your future? Like, there's no plan like, you know, at least Green Bay keeps making the Brett Favre plan, right? Let me have a good quarterback, and then let me piss them off by recruiting another young quarterback that we're going to groom for 3-4 years.
Yeah, and don't forget what Atlanta did.
Quarterback, like Atlanta, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't forget them.
Yeah, but Atlanta did that. But, I mean, Atlanta, that was just dumb. At least Green Bay has two Super Bowls out of it, right? At least, you know, something's working. You're trying not to break it. You won. Atlanta hasn't won anything.
That's their plan. You know? They're building for the future.
All right, so what is the Jets' plan, right? You got a 40-year-old quarterback. You don't have Tyrod, you know, Taylor from the Giants as your backup, which is an okay backup, but he's not your future. What do you think the Jets' future is? I know they're in it for today. I get it, and I think you deserve it to be because you need that for the Jet fans. It's been too long. But What happens post Rodgers? Where do you see that going? Because if you're winning, you're not going to get a draft pick unless you have draft picks already just pocketed from prior seasons.
Yeah, so I think their plan is to have a two-year window with Rodgers this and next year. And then they drafted Jordan Travis this year in as a day three pick. So I think they'll sit him and try to develop him. That's a late round dart throw. So I'm not saying like he's definitely the answer after Rodgers. I think they kind of just, you know, play it by ear over the next 2 years. And if he's not the guy, then I think you go into the 2026 draft and are looking for your guy of the future. And you might have to trade up to get him. We've seen, you know, teams move up before. The Bills traded up for Josh Allen. We saw the Chiefs move up for Patrick Mahomes. There's been times in the past where, you know, these teams who were coming off of seasons where they were playoff teams the year prior, you know, move up for a quarterback of their future. And I think that's a spot where the Jets might be in a couple of years.
Well, I'll tell you what, it'd be good for football NFL for to see the Jets do well. You know, the AFC, you know, since Brady left, AFC now has changed. Now it's up for grabs. So I'd like to see the Jets do good for my friends out there. As long as they're not talking about the Giants. The Giants need a lot of rebuilding anyway. But I think it's good for the Jets. And I'm rooting for Aaron Rodgers. I didn't like Aaron Rodgers the last 2 years he was with Green Bay, just the way he is, just everything about him. But when he came to the Jets, he's done the right things. He's given up salary. He's helping out the team. They talk nothing but great things about him. I have some insights to him at practice that, you know, it's – a noticeable difference from the past years of any quarterbacks with Mark Sanchez there, that he comes in, he just commands the team. Like, they know who's in charge. You know what I mean? They snap to what he says. So he throws the ball, like, just with a flick of his wrist, and it goes, you know, lightning quick. So I wish the Jets, you know, I wish the Jets a successful season. I want to see Aaron Rodgers. I was disappointed last year. I was super, super excited to see Aaron Rodgers, you know. Four plays and out. It was devastating to the sports world. There were so many people that were just here. I feel bad for Jet fans, but for me particularly, they just took the air out of me.
Yeah, it did. That was such a weird game going back to week one, and the Jets end up pulling off a, you know, miraculous win where, you know, you had the punt return for a touchdown. And just weird, you know, you go through the emotions of like Aaron Rodgers running out of the tunnel with the flag on, you know, September 11th, and then it's over in the blink of an eye. It was such a weird night, but, you know, I think it only makes going into this year the excitement and the hype that much, you know, that much more. This is really going to be our first look at Aaron Rodgers with the Jets after, you know, over a year of him being here already. So to say week one is highly anticipated for Jet fans is probably understating it. That we are chomping at the bit to see this guy actually play for the Jets.
Well, I will tell you this, at least you're playing on real grass. The downside is you're playing against Bosa.
That's true. And a tough defense. That defensive line is unbelievable.
I think I'd take Bosa over the MetLife Field. That MetLife Field is just, I think,
it's like a jinx. Everybody gets hurt there.
I cannot believe that there hasn't been tremendous outcry from ownership to correct that. There's too many players, both home and away, that are getting injured on that MetLife Field.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir on that one. You're preaching to the choir on that one. I would love for them to change it out. The players would love for them to change it out. They did right now for the soccer that's going on in the Euros or Copa. I'm not a big soccer guy, but I know that the MetLife is hosting some of those games, and they switched to grass for that. So I don't know why they can't just keep that for football. See, Byron,
you said it was about money. Well, they can keep it grass now.
Yeah, it depends on who paid for the grass. Did the soccer people pay for the grass, or with the Jets or Giants? Who paid
for it? Definitely soccer money.
And the soccer's like, you know what? We're taking our grass with us. We're taking it back.
Yeah, that would be dumb. I would have said, here's the conditions for you to play here, is to keep the grass. All right, let's move on. Let's move on a little bit to the NBA draft. So, wait, ironically, they made a comment this year that how Bronny James ended up getting elevated to like the second round as the 55th pick, where the Lakers accidentally have the 54th or 55th pick, and the Lakers end up drafting Bronny James. Myron, what are your thoughts on that?
Everybody knew that was going to happen. You know, his kid, you know, when he first came out, the kid was 6'4". He goes to the NBA, you know, draft, the pre-draft stuff. He's 6'2" all of a sudden. And then it's like, okay. So now he's got a chance to play, you know, with his dad. The first time, you know, that's going to happen where father-son is going to play in the NBA together. He's going to make the team. He's going to play just to make some kind of history or some kind of statement or whatever the Lakers are trying to do. You know, because you figure with J.J. Redick, you know, being the coach now and, you know, got LeBron James, you know, on the podcast together, whatever. So that should be interesting. So who's really in charge of the team? Is it J.J. Redick or is it LeBron James? But they proved it today by drafting his son, like everybody said that he would do.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. They've wanted to play together for a while, so the Lakers getting, you know, LeBron James' kid is really not surprising. And, you know, it is really LeBron running the show out there. That's been the case for a long time and in his career. I get it. He's a legend. He gets to have that luxury. So not surprising to see the Lakers draft, you know, Bronny, but we'll see how it works out. It's going to be interesting to see them on the court together.
The funny part is that he has a podcast with the head coach, so they're making comments about that. Two, everybody's like, hey, man, this thing is getting rigged, how he happens to be in the right pick where the Lakers have the same pick. Now, the Lakers, for sure, LeBron James is going to sign with the Lakers because he has still options to sign somewhere else. I can't imagine now him leaving his son. So maybe he was just waiting to see if they make a commitment. He's set to make like $55
million. Ooh, must be nice.
Yeah.
Okay, for the year. And you know, hey, look, if you get privilege like that, I think it's fine. The kid only scored 5 points a game at USC, which is not even a powerhouse in basketball. Right? He's like 6'1". I wish him the best. Anyone who gets an opportunity, you know, look at them. I don't know if you know that Mike Piazza was Lasorda's godfather, right? And they picked him. They got him in. They got him into the league. And look what Piazza ended up doing. Right? So sometimes you never know. He got picked like 68, right? But Piazza became one of the best home run hitting catchers of all time. So hopefully Bronny James does well. You know, I think the Lakers in itself is a tough organization to play for right now. Right? I don't think they have the pieces. I think LeBron is still great. He's just getting old. Anthony Davis is not dependable. Anthony Davis, by far, can be the best player in the league if he doesn't get injured and he plays tough every game. Yeah, Byron?
Yep. Is LeBron going to wait for his other son to come up next? Is that going to be the next thing, to play with the second kid? I'm just saying, man, because there's another one that's playing basketball, too.
His goal is to own a team, so eventually he may have his sons on the team, right? So we don't know, but I just think it's going to be an interesting mix. When do you actually put him in the game? I mean, if you only scored 4.5 points a game at USC and it's not a powerhouse in basketball, you know,
he's going to be a better pro than he was in college. That's my prediction.
I hope so. Look, I don't wish any ill will to anybody. I just thought it was kind of funny how it plays out. That's all. You know, because he got risen to the pick. It was all, everybody predicted it. We just, you know, sometimes you predict stuff, you can't believe it's going to come through, right?
Everybody knows. Everybody.
And then the Knicks made some great moves. Did you know the Knicks have 4 players from the UConn 2016 basketball national championship?
Villanova.
No, UConn.
Villanova.
No, it's Villanova.
It's Villanova?
Brunson's from Villanova.
Why did I think it was UConn? Okay, then I'm wrong. But they got 4 of the players from that national championship team.
And those were the same ones that Stephen A. Smith was saying was like, yeah, you know, they're not going to be very good. I guess they've worked out pretty good for him.
Well, he's like hooting and hollering about his picks because, you know, he's a big New York Knicks fan. So he's good. I think they're making some good moves. It's going to be interesting. Boston is still going to be the team to beat in the East. I think they're going to be still tough. Jimmy Butler said he's not going to be signing the extension. I don't know if the Heat still want to do with him. So it will be happens. But, you know, UConn did pretty good in the draft this year. And now you can imagine, do you think that Bronny James had anything to go into, like, Danny Hurley not taking that position?
Nah. What would you rather be? What would you rather be? UConn going for a third national championship. You know, you pretty much can do whatever you want to do. You go to the Lakers. LeBron James is in charge of the team, and he could fire you at any second. You're going to get all that guaranteed money, but you're still going to be out of a job. So I would have stayed just like he did and stayed with UConn. He made a good move for him. Plus, he's a Jersey guy. Let him stay. You know, stay on the East Coast.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I'm not really too sure. I think he has a cushy spot in UConn, so I don't blame him for staying. And, you know, you're right. Maybe he didn't want to, you know, have to deal with LeBron and everything that comes with him, including Bronny.
Also, I think Bronny has a factor in there. Number one, number two, they also didn't offer him like a deal that was too good to walk away from. Because he's going to make like $11 million a year. He's got the opportunity to get close to that at UConn, right? In addition to that, there's other basketball coaches that are getting paid more. And then to go and deal with the Lakers and beat with LeBron, the other thing is that my understanding is he's pretty much a verbal, tough coach. Like, he's hard on his players. There's no way he would get away with that with LeBron.
That's true.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He's like, that styles. LeBron left Miami Heat because he couldn't deal with Spoelstra and Riley because they don't joke. Like, when you come to the Heat, it's Riley's team and it's Spoelstra's team. Right? LeBron had to get out of that. He couldn't deal with that. It's a unique player to have to come to the Heat, but they produced the results. I think that was it. And then back to what Byron said, I think all coaching jobs, that if you're like in UConn and you're winning – and you're the top guy, I think that's the life, right? You're able to coach kids, you got a new crop, you're able to recruit the kids. It's not all dollar amount or whatever. The other thing is, he's from Jersey, and he pretty much is like the man in the tri-state area there, right? He's a Jersey guy coaching in Connecticut, so he's got Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York. Tell me he doesn't get a free pass, or he doesn't get, you know, whatever he wants in that area.
Yeah. Pretty
much. It's beautiful. He's making $7 million. I think they're going to increase his salary. He's already proven that he's got an offer for the NBA. So, you know, UConn's going to come back. I think the governor of Connecticut stated, we're not going to let Dan Hurley leave. So they're going to do whatever it takes to keep. I just think it's a great job. I mean, you're on a college campus. You got that atmosphere. You got true fans. And you don't have to deal with the
player. Well, he does have to deal with the NIL. That's the only, you know, that's, you know, you have to deal with that.
But what does he got to deal with?
He got to go, you know, go to
the booth. He won 2 years in a row. No?
He got to go to the booth to get that money.
He's going to get NIL money there, and he's going to get booster money. It's Connecticut. You know what I mean? He's got everything. I thought Bobby Bowden had the best job in the world also, right? He coached there for 20-something years in Tallahassee, right? He must have had a gigantic house. He was using the state plane. He used the state plane at one time, one year, only second to the lieutenant governor. More than anyone else other than the state lieutenant governor. All the other schools used to complain because he had access to a plane to go recruit kids. So I just think that when you're in that position, I'm not hating. I'm not hating. I am. I'm envious of, man, I would love to be a college coach, be dominant, and, you know, have that life.
Mm-mm. Not now.
Mm-hmm. Why?
What happened to Nick Saban? What did Nick Saban do? he's like, you know, it was, it got to be too much for him. Then you had
70-something years old, dude. He's 70-something years old, and things are changing, and he's won how many championships? He had nothing else to prove.
I think NIL had a lot to do with it. That he didn't want, you know, he got kids coming there. You know, well, what can you do for me instead of the other way around? I'm sure he got tired of hearing that.
Mm-hmm. No, we'll see. All right, Matt. Hey, thank you for joining our show. Hope you enjoyed it. Did you have a good time?
It was great. Thank you guys so much for having me on tonight. Really appreciate
it. That's awesome. We're really happy. We're happy that you joined. We'd like for you to come back, especially once the season gets started. See what's going on. Let's get an update with the Jets. Yeah, tell us about your show. When is it? What do you guys talk about? How can people tune into you?
Yeah, so I do daily Jets videos on YouTube. You could find me, just type my name in YouTube, Matt O'Leary. Again, yeah, short form, longer form podcast episodes, a little bit of everything. And you can follow me on social media at Matt O'Leary NY.
All right, awesome. And the links to his show and his times are going to be on the bottom in there. So please smash it. If you like what you're seeing, smash the like button, get the notifications. Check out Matt O'Leary with the Jets and tune into his show. Is it every day? Is it when's your show?
Yeah, every day.
So you have a show every day at a specific time? Or
no specific time, just video uploads throughout, you know, throughout the day whenever news comes out. Usually 1 to 2 videos a day.
Okay. Oh, awesome. And how long are your videos?
They range, but usually, you know, anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes, depending on the topic.
Well, that's awesome. All right. Well, congratulations. Good luck to you. We'll tune into your show, get some Jet news. We'll do some research for our show on the Jets, listening to your show. All right. Well, you have a good night. Thank you for joining us. Byron, every Thursday, what time, Byron?
8 o'clock.
8 p.m. He does all the time. 8 p.m. every Thursday, streaming live on YouTube and Facebook. We're going to have multiple guests coming on our show. Thank you very much. As always, tune in next week. We're going to have some more guests, talk about what's happening in the draft, finish up on Byron's picks for the top seed, the top tight ends, and the top offensive lines. And enjoy your weekend, Mr. Byron. Hey, I just want to do a quick shout out to my pop. I love you, Pop. I miss you. It was yesterday was 1 year, Byron. Today, wow. That my dad left us. So yesterday was a tough day for me. I just want to just always remember my dad, Tony. Guillermo Tony, a road trip, 20-year vet, Army vet, and Bronze Star. Sorry for that. That moves in the background. Byron, you have a good night. Thanks.
You too.
And God bless. And we will talk to you.